As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR, 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. We are watching oil. Oil is rising with global equities amid speculation that a production freeze by some OPEC members in Russia could eventually help to abate the surplus. NYMEX crude oil is currently up 6.3%. It's been extending its gains throughout the morning. It's up $1.87 to $31.51 a barrel. Brent is up 5.2% or $1.74 to $34.75 a barrel. U.S. stock index futures higher as well. S&P E-mini futures up 21 points. Dow E-mini futures up 185 and NASDAQ E-mini futures up about 46. DAX in Germany is up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 1.76%. COMEX gold is down 1.6% or $19 to $12.1180 an ounce. The euro, $1.1020, the yen, 113.17. Dean Foods, the largest U.S. milk processor, posting fourth-quarter profit that beat analyst estimates after it paid less for dairy supplies. Its shares up almost 4% this morning, and Allergan also beat. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Again, I'm looking at curve flattening today within a better risk on feel. Again, West Texas up $1.91. Get your attention. Mark Zandi with us with Moody Analytics as we continue forward. Right now, though, it is 8:48 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Clive Crook, a columnist for Bloomberg View. How to account for the success of Donald Trump? Part of the answer is class. I'm a British immigrant, and I grew up in a northern working-class town. Moving to Oxford and then London in the 1970s, I learned something about snobbery. But I never witnessed the naked disdain for the working class that America's metropolitan elite finds permissible in 2016. The targets of this disdain understand they're seen as bigots, too stupid to know what's good for them. They don't like being looked down on, and many of them are supporting Trump. Trump is outrageous, and that's the point. This isn't about policies or promises. He delights in offending the people who look down on his fans. The more he offends those people, the better his supporters like it. Supporting Trump is an act of class protest, not just over hard time, the effect of immigration on wages, or the depredations of Wall Street. It's also, and perhaps most of all, over lack of respect. That's something no American will stand for. I'm Clive Crook, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard hourly weekdays on Bloomberg Radio. Michael?
Let's bring back Mark Zandi now, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. We're talking about the global economy and how the U.S. is sort of the engine of the growth. And I want to get at that a little bit, Mark, and talk about why you think that will continue. We had a very rough fourth quarter. Are you in the camp that suggests that was maybe an inventory correction and that we are back to, if not a great level of growth, the plotting level that we've experienced the last couple of years?
Yeah, and the fourth quarter was bad in terms of GDP. It wasn't bad in terms of jobs. In fact, it was fantastic in terms of job growth, and that's what's most important. Because at this pace of job growth, we're fast approaching full employment, which we're months away from, and that means stronger wage growth, and stronger wage growth is the fodder for consumer spending, and that's the engine for global economic growth. So You know, as long as the American companies continue to hire and payrolls continue to expand, we'll be fine. And every indication is that they will. You know, the unemployment insurance claims are very low. They remain very, very low. And the most encouraging thing most recently is that the number of people quitting their jobs has skyrocketed, which, you know, people don't do that unless they feel pretty comfortable that they're going to find another one. Yeah. So, you know, as long as the labor market hangs together, we'll be fine.
Well, Mike, jump in here on this. You're better on the JOLTS survey and all that, but this was the sorts of conversation at least three times this weekend, as people really have shifted, Mike, on the enthusiasm to exit the job.
Well, the quit rate certainly went up, and you know, hiring in theory will continue as long as demand is strong, and we saw reasonably good retail sales for the prior month. I just wonder, Mark, what you hear from companies and what you think the possibility is that with the volatility in markets and uncertainty out there, and certainly with the crazy turns the presidential campaign has taken, whether we will see CEOs just put things on hold as they did in previous years when we had these black swans come out, Greece and other things.
Well, I clearly they're nervous. You know, I in my business, I talk to a lot of senior management, CEOs, CFOs, and you know, they're focused on their stock price, and with the decline in stock values, it makes them anxious. And it's more in stock prices. There's volatility across all financial markets globally. So there's no doubt about that. But at least to this point, you know, there's no indication sign that they've actually called up their human resource head and said, you know, stop hiring, or certainly no one's saying laying off people. That hasn't happened. Investment spending has been on the soft side, but you know, that's mostly energy. If you exclude energy,
Where I want to go. Where is it X energy?
You know, it's fine. It's, you know, here, I'll give you another statistic, Tom. You know, in this recovery, investment spending real, all in, you know, this whole shoot and match that businesses invest in is 4.8% per annum. That's pretty good. I mean, in the last expansion a decade ago, and that was a six-year-long expansion, per annum investment growth was 4.1%. And if you look at investment in R&D and intellectual property, which is, you know, the most risky stuff with long payoffs, and you think people, if their business are really scared to be pulling back on that, you don't see it. So, yeah, they're nervous. There's no doubt. But they're not nervous enough to say, you know, I'm going to pull back here, at least not yet.
What about the idea that the stock market's problems are going to have a wealth impact on spending, and that could push us towards recession?
Yeah, I worry about that. You know, we've done some recent research that indicates that the stock wealth effect is large by historical standards. You know, historically, the stock wealth effect is about 2-3 cents. So every dollar decline in stock prices would reduce consumer spending ultimately by 2-3 cents. So that doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, just to give you a sense of it, a 10% decline in stock values, which is roughly what we've experienced here, peak to current, is about $2 trillion in wealth. So that adds up to real money. But if the wealth effect is 5-6 cents, and that, my research suggests that it might have gotten that high, then the damage will be greater. And, you know, that goes right to the heart of my thesis, you know, that the American mm-hmm. consumer is going to keep spending. So that's the key thing I worry about here, at least in the very near term, you know, what the damage is going to be created by this financial turmoil.
In the last minute that we've got with you, Mark Zandi, help me with the Fed. Mike, I think it's important to understand with a meeting March 16, how Fed-free we've been in conversation in research this morning. What will you listen for from Fed officials, Mark Zandi?
Well, you know, we're coming into full employment, check. Actual inflation is actually picking up. Core inflation is picking up, check. We're still below target, but we're moving towards target. I think the key thing really will be, you know, obviously, what damage will this financial turmoil do? But and I think they'll be focused on unemployment insurance claims and labor market data to focus on that. But the real thing I think they're now focused on is inflation expectations. That feels really soft, and that continues to be the case. I don't see they're not going to be able to check that mm-hmm. box, and they won't tighten monetary policy.
What's your forecast for inflation? We have seen definitely moving up of core rates.
It's going to pick up. I mean, if my script roughly holds together, because the labor market's tightening. We're going to get wage growth. And then you layer on top of that a very tight housing market. Vacancy rates are at 30-year lows, and we're getting very strong rent growth. And healthcare costs are going to pick up because it's very labor intensive, and as wage costs rise, healthcare costs will rise. And the effects of Obamacare are going to start to fade a bit. So everything is adding up for inflation, getting core inflation getting back to target over the next year, 18 months, and then and something beyond that.
Mark Zandi, thank you so much. With Moody's. Mike, the speaker starting with February 22 today, Potter, Fisher, Kaplan, Bullard on the 24th in New York City, Lockhart, Williams, Powell, Brainard, and finally Stanley Fisher, March 7th, before we descend into quiet.
There will be a lot of opinions expressed.
Yeah.
What is going to happen. And we have a pretty good idea of where a lot of people sit at the moment. And it is not unrealistic to expect the Fed to do nothing on the 16th.
He played 20 minutes, 28 seconds of hockey. That's a lot for anybody. The other night, he is 44. And, 44.
Well, he's down in Florida where you can, I know who you're talking about.
If you say so, no, I would note.
We can retire.
4:53 second period. Yager from Kulikov, who was born the year Jaromir Jagr started playing, and Jussi Jokinen. And then in the third period, Jagr from Jokinen. And for those of you that don't know hockey, it's much different when you score when everybody's on the ice versus a power play when the other team has a man in the penalty box. Mr. Jagr scored two goals to win the game 5-on-5.
Got to give him credit. Remarkable.
That's remarkable
specimen. It reminds one of Gordie Howe playing into his 50s. You know, this is maybe the roughest, hardest sport, and yet some of the
people
who have performed the longest have been in hockey.
If he had power play goals, they'd say, okay, they set him up, the big gun in the slot, blah, blah, blah. Two goals, 5-on-5 at age 44. I don't believe I've ever said that at any time or place. Futures up 22. Dow futures up 192. The yen 113.21, weaker yen today with a little bit. No, nicely stronger dollar, I should say. Another hour of Bloomberg surveillance. You need to be with us. Thank you.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.